chapter 6. Now, this message tonight is going to be a little bit different. I know it's what the Lord laid on my heart to preach 3 or 4 days ago. This thought come on my mind. I don't even know what to title it, but I was reading here in the book of Luke, and it just kind of jumped out and grabbed me. I don't really have a title. I have no outline. But I do have some thoughts to give you, so you'll have to pay close attention. You won't need to take any notes or anything. I might have an outline. Part of one, anyway. But anyway, there's some scripture here, and I'm going to take out of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And I tell you something, brother. This scripture is popular because liberals like it. But when you really get down to the nitty-gritty of thinking about this thing, this ain't just... It's not just some poetic words. There's some stuff here that'll keep you busy if you try to live it. And what I'd like for us to do tonight, let's just all kind of pay attention as I read this scripture, and let's ask yourself, are you living by this scripture that I'm getting ready to read? Really now, are you really trying to live by this scripture? I know I believe in dispensations and all that, but we're going to forget dispensations tonight. Take what Jesus said and ask ourselves, are we living by it? All right, here we go. Verse 27. I might talk a little bit while I'm reading the scripture. Get me up on this one, Brother Billy. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. All right, is everybody doing that? Is everybody in here loving their enemies right now? Now, I know that a lot of folks are backslid right there. Amen? Everybody in here's got enemies, right? Everybody in here's got people that don't like them. Everybody in here's got people you don't like. If you want to get right down the nitty-gritty, about 3/4 of us in here tonight have people that we absolutely just cannot stand the sight of. Amen? How many of you have ever prayed that God would kill somebody? Now, I know I ain't the only one. I seen two hands go up side of mine. You ain't never had bad enough enemies. Okay, there's some getting honest over there. You wait, you'll go. I mean, I prayed if it was his will, he'd kill him. How many of you ever wished he'd kill somebody? All right, now you're getting more honest. Now, that ain't right. Look what the Bible says. Love your enemies. Now, that don't mean like this one old drunk, you know, he's out here drinking, and the preacher come up and he said, don't drink that stuff, it'll kill you, that's your worst enemy. He said, well, preacher, the Bible says love your enemies. He said, yeah, but it didn't say swallow them. So that ain't what that's talking about. That's talking about people that's against you. Now look, love your enemies. Reckon I'll stop right there and give an invitation? How many of you been doing good? How many of you been going out to your enemies talking bad about them? And every time you get a chance, you say something bad about that person you don't like. You gonna give an invitation right now? You gonna quit claiming to be right with God until you get that straight? Love your enemies. Uh-oh, look at this. You say, why? Look at this. Do good to them which hate you. Do good to them which hate you. I was praying about this evening. I was thinking about some of my enemies. And I prayed for who I thought was one of my worst enemies this evening, so I wouldn't be a hypocrite preaching this. And I said, God, if you'll give me the chance, I'll do something good for them. Let me come up on them broke down on the side of the road. I've heard people say, well, I tell you one thing, I wouldn't spit on him if he was on fire. I've heard people say, I wouldn't give him air in a jug. I've heard people say, but Christians ain't supposed to be like that. Christian is supposed to pray that God will give you. Now, I'm not trying to be funny tonight, but brother. That's the words of Jesus Christ. The book commands you to do good to them which hate you. Look at this, verse 28. Bless them that curse you. You get your head knocked off like that. Somebody curse you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. How many of you are honest, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, how many of you have in church felt like you've been used? All right. Pray for that person that used you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Whew, my soul. Give to every man that asketh of thee. Everybody living that? Boy, I get under conviction when I read that. Sometimes I'll pass up a hitchhiker. I don't always pick them up. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. If I feel the nudge, I pick them up. If they look too mean, I don't feel the nudge. But then I picked up one down the road here the other morning. It wasn't even daylight yet. They was trying to get to work. Little old girl. I guess she didn't look 16, but I guess she might have had to be. Said she worked at Shoney's in Morganton. And I thought, you nut, what are you doing out here this time? It was the day the kids left to go to Pensacola, and I went home at 5:30, and I said, where are you going? She said, Shoney's in Morganton. And I had to get back home to get ready to go catch my flight, you know, and kids at home. And I said, well, I can't take you all the way down there. And I took her to a place where, and she, you know what? She knew me, and she knew about our church, and she said she appreciated the ride and all that. And the Lord used that as a witness to her. One time we was driving around somewhere down in Charlotte, me and some boys. These people were stopped on the side of the road, said, hey, let's stop and help them. We pulled over in there. We started witnessing to them. And this guy that had been with us, he had been backslid about 10 times. He'd smoke pot a while and come to the altar, and smoke pot a while and come to the altar, smoke pot a while and come to the altar. And he'd quit, you know, and start, and quit and start, and in and out, and up and down, and all that. And boy, he said, I don't see how you can do that. How can you just talk to somebody about the Lord? And I said, that's what you need to do. You get off them drugs if you'd start doing something for the Lord. All right, look at this. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That means if somebody owes you something, you don't have to go mention it to them. You'll be all right. God will take care of you. That hurts, don't it? Boy, that hurts. We get too concerned about us and our material things. Look at this, verse 31. Here's the key to the Christian life. If everybody in this church would do what this verse said, wouldn't have no problems. Verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You treat people like you'd want them to treat you. You want somebody to be good to you? Be good to them. You want somebody to be mean to you? Be good to them. Something like that. If somebody's being mean to you, be good to them. Treat them like you want to be treated, not how they treat you. You'll heap coals of fire on their head. Verse 32. If you love them which love you, what thank have you? Sinners also love them that love those that love them. My goodness, anybody does that, he says. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35, here it comes again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Look at this verse. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. You know how come God's so hard on us? Because we're so hard on other people. If we keep our mouth and our tongue off other people, God might not have to beat the daylights out of us so much. Now, I got to preach. I've got to preach. That's my job. But outside of this pulpit, brother, your life's your life. Somebody else's life. It's none of my business. I've got enough problem keeping my own self straightened out without sticking my nose in everybody else's business and offering my advice and my opinion where it's not wanted or asked for. Has a subject ever come up that you want to gossip or say something about real bad? You're just dying to say it, as Bruce would say. I mean, you want to say it so bad that you can't stand it. And you're just waiting on them to say one thing so you can put your 2 cents worth in. There's where you got to hold it. All right? Look at here. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, here's a good one. We're going to talk about this a little bit tonight. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. Now I'll stop right there and say something. We criticize and just have almost cussed the charismatic movement. And brother, there's a lot of things about it I disagree with, but there's one thing about it. Them people believe in that verse right there and try to practice it. We'd do well if we'd take a little bit of their advice and doctrine on that verse. I don't agree with their doctrine on the Holy Ghost and tongues and healing and all of that, but I do believe in a lot of their philosophy of being generous and a free giver. 39. Here's the way your life's going to turn out, one way or the other. Everybody in here, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall in the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote, that's a splinter, toothpick, that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam, a cross tie, that is in your eye, thine own eye? Means, what are you worried about your brother with a toothpick in his eye when you got a 2x4 in your eye? Verse 42. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull that toothpick that is in thine eye out, when thou thyself beholdest not the 2x4 that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Cast out first the 2x4 out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull the toothpick out of thy brother's eye. Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. All right, skip on down there to verse number... My goodness, I'm going to hurry if I'm going to read all this. Verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I'm going to talk to you about doing good things. I'm going to talk to you about reaping good things that you do. And I'm going to talk about how that you can be happy when you get old. How to be happy when you get old, if I get to all of that tonight. How to be happy when you're old. Now, like it or not, all of us are getting older. Somebody ever comes up to you and say, ha ha, boy, you're getting old, ain't you? You're going the same speed they are. You can say, well, so are you, buddy. We're everyone 24 hours older than was this time last night. We're everyone a week older than was this time last Sunday night. There ain't nobody can point their finger at somebody else and say, boy, he sure is getting old. She sure is getting old. We're all going along the same speed. Some of us just started before others did. But it's exactly the same for everybody. Sometimes you'll look at somebody when you're 15 and they're 50 and you'll say, good, now it's that old person. But they were 15 one time and you're going to be 50 real soon. And I'm going to tell you, the reason some people are old and cranky is because they were young and cranky. And if you'll do something for God and live for God while you're young, when you get old, you'll be able to look back with blessings and a smile on your face and joy in your soul. But if some of you don't... If you're, I want this, I want that, I want a car, I want new clothes, I want a boyfriend, I want a girlfriend, you'll still be that same old cranky grouch when you're 50 and 60 years old because you ain't doing nothing for God now. You're building your house on the sand. Now listen. You know what the greatest thing in the world you can do besides winning somebody to the Lord is be a friend. Folks, we are living in the day when real friends are hard to find. One of the greatest things about, I think about our church tonight is I know, unless I am badly deceived, I know that I have some real friends sitting right here tonight. I mean, our friendship goes back over through the years, brother. I mean, through the years. We've been through battles together. We've been through difficult times together. We've been through absolute hurricane Hugos in this place together. And it made our friendship tighter and tighter and tighter. Thank God that we can have friends like we've got sitting here in this room tonight. I've heard lots of people stand up here and say, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Danny, the people here in this church are actually closer to me than my own blood brothers and sisters and mamas and daddy. That's what a real friend really is. I'll tell you something else. By the grace of God, we better not let no little long tongue, somebody out here in the community or some undermining snake try to ever destroy that friendship that we have right here in our church. You know, it's come to the place now, we've got people now that hate our church, and they're going to pull you off to the side and say, you ought to quit that church. If you ever have anybody try to get you to quit your church, you know one thing, that's a devil in that person. Amen? That's a devil in that person. Because if it was the Lord, they'd be encouraging you. Hang in there. Serve God. Pray. Win souls. You know that ain't the Lord don't work like that. But you better watch it. I think time has come for some of you to learn how to say shut up. In a nice way, of course. Time has come to say, I don't want to hear it. Somebody says, some of you let somebody come and talk about Brother John Hollis to me. He's not perfect, but he's my friend. And I'll tell you something, if I had to, I'd fight for Brother John. You know why? Friends are hard to come by. I'm going to talk about friends a little bit tonight. I'm going to say some things about whatever happened to just good people. Whatever happened to just being good to people. Whatever happened to just taking the old-fashioned, literal words of Jesus and saying, hey, I am supposed to treat my brother like I want him to treat me. We've got a long way away from that in this modern generation of Christianity, this name it, claim it, get rich, quick gospel that we people push on us today. We've got a long way away from you first, me second gospel that people used to believe in. Illustration where a teacher set an apple on her desk. And she set the apple on her desk and she said, now, who can give me a Bible verse? If somebody come in here and took that apple, somebody give me a Bible verse. Somebody stood up and said, thou shalt not steal. Very good. Now, she said, if two boys were up here fighting, what Bible verse would you use? One of them said, be ye kind one to another. Very good. Then she said, suppose we had a kitty cat up here. And one of them had its hind legs and one boy had its front legs. And they were both pulling it like that. What Bible verse would you use? They thought for a minute. One of them said, I know what God hath joined together. Let not man put asunder. That ain't what that verse means, I don't reckon. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. We stand back a lot of times and we see the devil just tear our brothers and sisters apart and literally devour them on the job. Listen, if you see all these new converts from Morganton, anybody that works with any of them down at Morganton, if you see a bunch of old dogs on them starting to devour them, pull them, run to their rescue, man. Jump in there. Help that Christian. Help them out. Do good. You know, you don't lose a real friend? Preacher come to another preacher one time and he said, preacher, something terrible's happened. My church is about ready to vote me out and I've lost all my friends. And the preacher looked back at him and said, you ain't lost one friend. He said, I have. He said, no, you're not. You don't lose friends. They may not approve of what you do, but if a person's your friend, they're always your friend. There's people who used to come to this church that are backslid out of the will of God, probably out drunk somewhere tonight. But if I see them on the house, I'd stop to just as quick to help them as I would anybody in here singing in the choir or shouting. You know why? Because I'm their friend, brother, and they're my friend. And I seen one yesterday. One old boy used to come here to church, and he loved God, but he's got messed up, and the devil trips him up. He knows I'm his friend. I know he's my friend, and I don't approve of the way he's living, and he knows it, and he knows it's wrong. But I'll tell you one thing. Me and him's friends. I could call him in the middle of the night and say, let me borrow your car. He'd say, come get it. I'll guarantee he would. And the same vice versa. You see, people can get just sucked up, devoured by their problems if they don't have some friends to stick by them. And when people's having problems in the church, that's when a bunch of us need to rally around that person and stick by them. Because they can just get sucked in by them. Reminds me of that fella come in there and he said, this man was vacuuming the floor. And the guy come in, he said, where's my pet bird? He said, he's right there just a second ago. That thing is gone, man. Up in that bag somewhere. That's where a lot of children, God's children, get sucked in by this whole world and their problems that they can't get over with. Now let me say this. Friends is a relationship. You hear a lot of talk about relationships nowadays. Geraldo and Oprah Winfrey and all. Have you entered into this relationship and that? Okay, when you have a friend, you have a relationship with somebody. Not a dirty, wicked relationship. A good, clean relationship. Now let me tell you a few things about a friend relationship. Number one, it is one of the few relationships that we choose. You didn't pick your mama. You didn't pick your daddy. You didn't pick your brothers, your sisters. You didn't even pick your Christian brothers and sisters. But you can pick your friends. It's one of the few relationships that you, if I'm your friend, it's because I chose to be. And if me and you are friends, it's an honor that we give to each other. Not only that, it can be an unselfish relationship. You know what I mean by that? In most relationships, there's some kind of a righteous or unrighteous selfishness involved. Like, I'll be your friend, or I'll do this if you'll do that, and always expecting something in return. If I'm your friend, there's no selfish motive involved. I choose to give love and care and ask nothing from you in return. Number three, it can be a relationship for life. You see? A child grows up and passes on, you know, and leaves mom and dad. Mom and dad die. But usually when you have a friend, they're in your same age bracket, and it can last even longer than a mom or dad relationship. Number four, it's a relationship that needs no acceptance from the other person. A marriage relationship or a dating relationship is dependent on whether the other person accepts that you're part of the relationship and returns it. But being a friend, I can be your friend whether you accept it or not. Not on that. It's a relationship that you never have to give up one friend for another. See, if you're dating somebody, you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you want another one, you have to get rid of them. If you're married, you can't say, well, I don't want to be married to you no more. I don't want to be married to somebody. You can't do that. But with a friend, you can say, I want to be your friend, I want you to be my friend, and I want you to be my friend. You can just have bunches and bunches of them. You don't have to give up one for another. Next thing, friendship can be completely spiritual. It's not a physical relationship. It's a spiritual relationship. And the next thing, it can be chosen any time. You see, parenthood comes at birth. At a certain age, people are unable to have children. After you get a certain age, you can't have no more kids. But you can choose a friend. You can be a friend. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man that is a friend. Happiest is the man who has and is a friend. You want me to say that again? Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. And happiest is the man who is and has a friend. The happy people in the world are people who has a friend and are a friend. Saddest people in the world is people that ain't got no friends. Rich people are miserable with no friends. I heard about these people standing around a bridge one time, and they're all standing around up here like somebody committed suicide. And this woman had jumped over there and committed suicide. And they were saying, oh no, what happened? Well, she jumped off a bridge. She killed herself there, right there in the river. And somebody said, why'd she do that? They said, she don't have any friends. Guy standing over here said, well, she sure ain't going to find none in the river. I'll tell you what, brother, a lot of times we want to run away and just stick our nose in a corner somewhere, crawl off in the woods. You ain't going to find none out there. Bible said, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, somebody said, I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. You see? You know what our concern is nowadays? We are too worried. I know people right now that would be more upset if you went out of here tonight and a scratch was on your car than you would be if I got up here and announced that somebody we've been praying for had died and they went to hell. That's awful, buddy. That's awful. And we're God's people. Now you know it's the truth, and I know it's the truth. We get more upset over a scratch on our car than we do one of our kids getting in trouble or sinning against God. Ah, my. Our priorities are all wrong. We're too material-minded. Well, I'm not letting them drive my car nowhere. I paid hard money for that. Boy, it'd be a good thing if God would just get a hold of us and help us to quit worrying about our house and our car and our clothes and our bank account. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, I think you ought to take care of things. I think you ought to protect what's yours. But brother, people are more important than things. You know what they say is about the number one problem in marriages and causes problems in the home? It's arguing over money, brother. Money. The bill. Well, I gave you $30. Where's the growth? Well, you can't buy nothing for $30. There's where the problem starts in the average home. I heard about this one guy who they was trying to get him and his wife to go on a plane ride, and his anniversary or something. And she said, "Oh, take me, darling." And he said, "No, that man said it's $10, $5 each." He said, "I ain't a giving you no $10 for me and her to ride in that stupid airplane." And they went on and on and on. And finally, he said, "All right." That guy said, "It's fun. You wouldn't believe it." He said, "You'll never be able to keep from hooping and hollering." He said, "I can too." He said, "All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you both on there for $10, and if you both keep your mouth shut and don't say one word for the entire flight, when we get back, I'll give you $5 back." All right. So they all got on there, and the man and his wife got on there, sat down. He done flips. He turned boat. He done every trick he knowed to do. I mean, round and round, upside down and everything. Not a peep come out of them. Got back on the ground. He said, "Well, you did it. I didn't think you could do it. You was quite the whole trip. Here's your $5 back." And he said, "Well, I almost hollered back there when Ma fell out." That's the way people are nowadays. Oh, my soul! Brother, we don't even care about our own flesh and blood kin much as we do that old dollar bill. I'll show you something. You know when you boys got a dollar bill? Let me see it. I'll show you something here. One of the kids showed me the other day. See what that is? People worship that thing right there. Friendships are busted up over that right there. Lifelong friends. People been friends for years because somebody owed them $10 and didn't pay them when they're supposed to. Won't have nothing to do with each other. Hey, man, they ain't no friend worth that old sorry old low-down piece of paper. That stuff ain't no good. It ain't no good. It ain't no good. We got to have it to live, and some of you are lusting after that right there as I wave it around. But I'll tell you what, when you get your heart right with God, that stuff don't mean as much to you no more. I don't care what you say. It don't mean nothing to you no more. If you have it, hallelujah. And if you don't, hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to show you something here. You got to look on here and find a famous man and a famous, what does he carry, a tobacco company? And a famous movie. Can you do that? Famous man, George Washington. Famous tobacco company, R.J. Reynolds. Famous movie, Gone with the Wind. Now do that to the next person. Amen, brother. Shout right there. Amen. Now listen, do that to the next. See, I'm going to get that and get me some Scotch tape after church. And figure, that stuff ain't no good. I know it'll be all over town tomorrow at high school that Danny Castle's up here tearing up money, throwing it all over the church. That's an illustration, bro. It ain't nothing. It ain't nothing. That stuff ain't nothing. All it ever done is bring a curse on us. You know what? There's a lot of people predicted our spiritual doom when we moved into this building. They said, "That'll be the end of that church. Hey, move into a building that nice, you'll dry out better than 4 o'clock." Thank God they were wrong. But you know what? You know what made them say that? Because prosperity has a way of taking people's heart away from God Almighty. A lot of people used to love God and shout to victory when they drove an old car and had flats on the way back and forth to church and made $5 an hour, and then they begin to prosper and make $20 an hour and drive a nice car. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it don't take your heart away from God. How about being a friend? I'll tell you something it'll do. It'll be a blessing to you in later years. Listen to these quotes. "Every man should keep a cemetery in which to bury the faults of his friends." best way to make friends is to be one. A friend is one who is there to care. A true friend is one who sticks by you even after he gets to know you well. Trouble with being a grouch is you have to make new friends every few months. This ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I'll just tell you this. Grandpa bought this little girl a baby doll, and she's 7 years old. He said, "Now here, honey, here's..." And she said, "Oh, Grandpa, I just love you." And went and told her mother. She said, "Mama, I love Grandpa. I said, I'm going to marry him when I grow up." And she said, "You can't do that, honey. He's my daddy." She said, "Well, you married my daddy." You know, that's something to think about, ain't it? But I'll tell you what, brother, we can have friends. We can have friends. Let me give you a few illustrations right quick, and I'm going to close. I heard Jack Hiles, he's talking on the tape, and he's talking about a friend, you know, and how that if you cast your bread on the water, you'll find it after many days. And he was saying he was in Texas preaching, you know, for like 45 minutes and they couldn't get through. And he said that he had rented a car or something, and when that wreck got cleared out, he had gone down the interstate at 100 miles an hour. He said, "I was doing 100 miles an hour and flashes up to 105. He said it was either that or missed the plane and missed the Wednesday night service at our church. So he's doing 100 miles an hour. About that time, a cop comes up behind him. Light starts flashing. He said, "Oh, no, they'll put me in the penitentiary. I'll never get out of this." So he pulls over and this guy comes up. He said, "What's the matter, you son? You crazy? It's people like you that cause people to get killed out here on the highway, out here driving like a man. You think you're on the road or something? Let me see your driver's license." He said he pulled out his driver's license and gave it to him. And the policeman said, How? Are you a preacher?" He said, "Do you want me to be?" "And I'll be whatever you want me to be." He said, "Didn't you used to preach down here in Texas?" He said, "I sure did." And he said that cop started crying. And he said, "Preacher, 17 years ago, you knocked on my door, told me how to get saved. I bowed my head and I got saved. Jesus, you led me to Jesus." He said, "Follow me." He got in front of that blue light. Both of them went down the road, escorting him to the airport 100 miles an hour. He said, "Boy, I sure am glad I went soul winning that night." Yeah. You never know, buddy. You never know. Hey, one good deed that you do, one day down the road, pop right back up in your face, and you are not ever wasting your time doing something for God. You know, I was thinking about our youth camp, and I was thinking about how that God just blessed that thing. You know what? There's a preacher in Alabama who pastors a church, and he's made the statement all over the part of the southern half of the United States where he's talked to people. Somebody told me in Florida last week, they said, "That preacher in Alabama told me that y'all's youth camp helped him more than anything he's ever been to. Any conference, any Bible conference, any camp meeting. He said he got a bigger blessing there than he ever had anywhere." And I said, "Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. We've had 150 kids saved in 3 summers, about 11 or 12 boys called to preach. God just blessed. Word got out all over the country. There's a bunch more wanting to come this summer." You know how that started? You know the very first thing that began the youth camp? It's something that I did in the bank uptown. I don't even know what it was. But Sister Brenda Hollifield back there at that time worked in the bank. It was First Union, wasn't it? Before, when First Union was still up here where the new bank is now. And she told me later. See, she was one that told me about the property out there. And God let her see it. And she saw kids running around in her mind, took me out there, and I saw all kinds of things. But you know what got her down here? She told me later, I said, "Well, how'd y'all get started coming to our church?" Her and Jean back there. And she said, one day while she was working as a secretary or teller or whatever she was up there in the bank, that I came in the bank. And she said, "I'd done something.
don't know what it was. And she said, when you did that, God spoke to me and said, Danny needs help down there. Get down there to that church and help him. Isn't that what you told me, Brenda? And that's been, what, 4 years ago, something like that? To this day, I don't know what I've done. I don't know if I gave somebody a tract. I don't know if I prayed. I don't know. Look, I wish you'd tell me. I'm going to go to every bank in town and do it tomorrow. I still don't know what I've done. But whatever it was, God used it. Boy, it's not the big things. It's not, boy, we're going to do something mighty for God. God usually takes some little old bitty insignificant thing that we do just in a daily life. She came down to church a few Sundays later. We had a Bible conference with Ralph Sexton Jr. come and preach. She heard Ralph mention something about a youth camp. She mentioned me right out there in the hall about the property. We went out. My heart started boiling and bubbling inside. I talked to the deacons. We wrote some people out and looked at it. We prayed about it. In 11 weeks, we raised $110,000. There's been 150 people saved, all because of something I did in the bank. And I don't even know what I done. Picked my nose. I cried. I don't know what it was. I tell you what, buddy. It'll come home to you. It'll come home to you. I've got... And it seems like the Lord always knows when you need a blessing to dump one on. Let me tell you something happened just this week. Just this week. The other day. As you know now, you know, my mom had to go stay with my sister who has cancer and she's in real bad shape right now. Mom's been with her since Tuesday. And I have no babysitter, and I've kept Corey with me all this week, and me and she went on visitation with me, and she went to pay bills with me, and I fix supper every evening this week, doing fine, ain't complaining a bit, hallelujah. But there's one thing I hate. You know what that is? It's ironing. Ironing is abomination to God. Buddy, there ain't no sense in it. It really is. Now, suit, you don't have to iron suit, but these shirts, boy, they take it. And I usually take most of my shirts to cleaner so Mom won't have to iron so much because she still has a bunch of the kids' clothes and all. And yesterday, I was thinking, because there have been several of the women called. Stella over there called, and Becky called, and Sister Susan over there mentioned something. Seven said, hey, Brother Danny, if you need anything done, need any help, just let us know. And boy, but at the time, I couldn't think of nothing. And you know, yesterday, I was walking down the steps out of my bedroom, and I said, God, I sure do wish I had somebody to help me. Next time one of them girls comes, I'm not going to be proud, Lord. I'll tell them if they want an iron to come over and iron. Lord, I wish I had some help on that. It wasn't 30 minutes till my phone rang. Wasn't 30 minutes. And it was Sister Parker. She said, Brother Danny, I want to do something for you. I said, what? She said, me and Gail. She said, we want to do your laundry and ironing. I mean, it hadn't been 30 minutes, man. I said, glory to God. The Lord sure is good to me. God sure is good to me. And I don't deserve it. I'm such a dog. I ought to be in hell tonight. I ought to be screaming in the fire. God just blesses me right on and on and on and on and on and on and on. One time right after another. I was broke. This morning I was broke. Didn't have a dime to my name. Honest. Didn't have a dime. I don't know how I got in this shape. I've just been kind of in a slump lately. I guess everybody gets that way once in a while. No money in the bank. No money in my pocket. None. Say, why are you doing all that money? I don't know, but I sure ain't saved it. I mean, don't get upset or don't nobody come to me after church and try. No, nothing like that. It's not something that won't pass after a few weeks. But this time of year, you know, Christmas and all. And I didn't have any money. And Carrie said this morning, she said, I want some fish. And I said, all right, I'll get you girls some fish for dinner and we'll have a good dinner and all. And I didn't have any money at all. It's happened more than once. Brother walked up to me right there this morning after service, said, here, help you with your dinner. Give me $20. And that never happens when I got money. It never does. That's happened two times here in the last year, and both times I was broke. You can ask Carrie, we have even went to eat with no money. And by the time, honest to goodness, you can ask her. And by the time we get through, somebody will do something. You say, well, Brother Danny, what would you do if somebody didn't give the money? I would write a check and then go put the money in the bank tomorrow when I get paid. Them check out. But God just does that over and over and over and over and over again. It's amazing. It's amazing. But you know what? A lot of people say, hey, this me, 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 I, you know, that guy, Sister Parker, get a blessing out of that tonight. Sister Brenda get a blessing out of that tonight. I'll tell you who the brother is. It's Carmi Ledford over here. He'll get a blessing out of that tonight. Knowing that God used them to encourage me and build my faith. And I can go preach all over the country and tell other people about that, and God will use their obedience to encourage thousands of other people. It's amazing what one little tiny act can do if God gets in it just right. And all this ties in all that scripture I read to you a minute ago. Blend, hoping for nothing to receive. Whatsoever ye would that men do unto you, do also unto them. If you got a little extra money, and you know somebody's having it hard, remember when you was having it hard. Do something good to them. You know somebody hates your guts? Do something nice for them. Not in a smart aleck way. Boy, you ought to see the looks I'm seeing up here tonight. Stuff like that. Try it, brother. Try it. You know what? That bitterness will eat you alive. Preacher Hollifield down there at Nebo Baptist Church, he used to say this. I'll never forget him saying it. He'd say, I am not going to let any man lower me and rob me of my joy by causing me to not love him. That's a great statement. I will not let any man rob me of my joy by causing me not to love him. Life's too short. Let's take advice from these scriptures and try to put these practical things that Jesus taught us here tonight into practice. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Now tonight, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we're going to sing a song in a minute. And just maybe there's somebody here tonight that God has really dealt with your heart about something. I don't know. I have no idea. But maybe He has. Maybe God's been dealing with you about something, and you ain't never going to have no peace till you go ahead and get right and obey Him. Or maybe you're here tonight and the Lord wants you to do something and maybe you ain't done it. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've got bitterness in your heart against somebody at work or somebody at school, one of you girls at school or your friends or your neighbor or somebody like that. And you need to get it out. You need to get it out. You can't be a blessing or get a blessing to anybody as long as you got that in your heart. Maybe you need to come to the altar tonight and get it right. Dear Lord Jesus, help us tonight just to be what You want us to be. We know we're going to heaven, Lord, but help us to live like it and do right while we're down here. Bless these brothers and sisters that are already coming to the altar tonight. Give them victory over whatever they need. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen and amen. What number are we going to sing, Brother John?
465.
Number 465. Amen. Let's all sing it tonight. God's dealt with your heart while we sing. You need to come. Come on. Everybody now sing.
Search me, O God.
Yes, come on.
And know my thoughts a day. Try me, O Savior.
The Lord sets you free when He cleanses you from sin. Sin brings you into bondage. It brings you into slavery. But the Lord will set you free. While we sing that second verse, is God dealing with you? The world mixed up, full of sin. Get set free from it tonight. That bitterness, that strife, that envy, that pride, that jealousy, that hatred, that unforgiving spirit, that stingy spirit. Get rid of all of it tonight. The Lord will bless you for it. Let's sing.
I praise Thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin.
Yes, amen.
Fulfill Thy word.
Speak to your heart tonight. Come on. Settle it. Settle it before God. Don't wait. Tomorrow might be too late. Tomorrow may be too late.
desire to magnify thy name.
Let's all sing it. Everybody sing loud now.
Lord, take my life.
Can you sing that and mean it tonight? Can you sing that and mean it tonight?
Here tonight. Thank you.